Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful Lord's Day opportunity to join with the people of God in the celebration of the Eucharist, the listening to God's Word together, bringing ourselves before Him. You know, some Sundays, I just experience the grace to be able to get a glimpse of the significance of what we're doing and see the larger picture of all over the world, people of every tribe, every language, every nation are coming together in small little churches or big cathedrals, whatever it is, all over the world coming, but we're all engaging in the same thing. We're all coming to the feet of Jesus, and Jesus is being lifted up. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. And he's drawing us to himself, and he's drawing us up into the presence of God the Father. In these simple rites, I mean, they're beautiful, but they're quite simple in their essence, and they're profound and transformational and miraculous, but yet simple. Through bread and wine, Jesus turns bread into his body and wine into his blood, and we commune with the person of Jesus in great power. And in that moment, what's happening is Jesus is not being re-crucified in altars all around the world, but what's happening is the one act, the love, the act of love by which the world is saved, by which we are saved, the one death of Jesus Christ on Calvary is being represented right there for us. And we're there in some way, like the apostles were there, you know, like John was there, Mary was there, and we're together and we bend our knee and we behold what he's done for us as the priest leads us through that whole mystery of Christ's sacrifice. And we say, at the end of it, we say, amen, amen, I believe, we believe. And then we commune together, broken human beings, sinners, fallen, but being lifted up by Christ to becoming saints, to empowered to bear his image, to live a different way of life and to be united around him. So the church right there in the concrete, in its imperfection, is a living sign that Christ is in our midst. The church is a miracle. The church is a work of God that we participate in, and he is leading us to the banquet table, which in heaven, the eternal sacrifice of Jesus is made present in some way, and that it's lived and celebrated, and we participate in that. And the veil is drawn back between heaven and earth, and there's a portal there, you might say, of access to the kingdom that we have by virtue to the Father's house, to the holy place, by virtue of our being united with Jesus, first in baptism, but united with him in the sacrament, and we become one body, and he's the head, and he wants to bring us to the Father. He's already put us in relationship with him. So, friends, there's so much happening there, and it's profound and life-transforming, and I hope you're able to taste of it and enter into it because it's God's gift for you, and he wants us to extend it. You know, at the end of Mass, the priest tells us, go, or the deacon says, go. In Latin, ite mista est, go. Share this good news of what you've experienced, this healing, this reconciliation, this glimpse of God, the touching of heaven and earth. Go tell the world about it. And so we're being sent to do that. And so as I began to look at programs for this week, a couple of things came to mind. First, on Monday here, the church presents to us in the readings the letter to the Hebrews. There's some strong Pauline themes here. There's questions of authorship. Was Paul the actual author? Did somebody else write it with strong Pauline themes? Those questions are left to scholars beyond my pay grade. But fundamentally, we have some themes that are very strong in Paul's teaching, and we have the Word of God here. And the reading today is beautiful because it begins to declare the uniqueness of the glory and majesty of Jesus. And that's just what I want to talk about today. And the rest of the week, I'm inviting a guest to come and join us tomorrow and hopefully throughout the week, a brother John Goff from the area from Dexter Parish, a little town near Ann Arbor here, wonderful place from St. Joe's Parish. And he's got a beautiful story of really an ordinary Catholic guy raised Catholic in a Catholic family who self-identified as Catholic, but was not highly engaged in the faith in any way, was some ways distant from the Lord, but clearly did not know what he did not know about the plan that God had for his life. And he's going to share the dimensions of it, including a tremendous healing, a healing from leukemia that he experienced, really a sign and a wonder in the Lord, but also trials, struggles, but also great victories and learning how God has equipped him and mobilizing him just as an ordinary man. He runs a business, he's married, has a family, has kids, and he's walking in the Lord in a way he never thought, you know, throughout most of his life was even possible. So I hope you can join us for those. So let's just take a look at this reading today. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the ages. So that's the first full sentence, and it's loaded, it's packed. In many and various ways, God spoke. The whole story, first of all, how does God speak? Well, one of the ways God speaks to us, not verbally, but he speaks to us through his creation. The psalm tells us, all creation really shows forth the glory of the Lord. It communicates to us something about God and his majesty, his creative power, his mystery, his awesomeness. But at a certain time in history, God began to speak to the human race directly with Noah, with Abraham, with Moses, and he formed a people, the people of Israel, the Jewish people. He gave them a covenant. He established a relationship with them, and through that people, he showed the whole world his plan for the human race, that God wants to draw near, that God wants to be in a covenant relationship with us. He wants to bind himself to us. He wants to give his whole life to us. Right? He wants us to become a family. He wants us to become his children. And so that message came to us in various ways, through prophets, through kings, through really the journey and the pilgrimage of the people of Israel. But as Paul would say in Galatians, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son into the world. Time reaches its fullness, and this is what the writer of Hebrews is touching on as well. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. We're in the last days. We're in the age of the Messiah. I've talked about it many times on this program that John the Apostle calls the last hour of human history. He said, whom he appointed the heir of all things, right? Jesus is the firstborn son of the Father. Through him, all things were made. He's the instrumental means by which all of creation has come to be. All things were created for him, by him, and he's the Father's beloved son. And now he's the heir of all of God's creation. That's what this writer is telling us about. Through whom he also created the ages. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature. Jesus literally is the icon, the stamp of the image, right? Think of the coin. Think of even the story of Jesus saying, when they're asking him, you know, is it right for the Jewish people to pay taxes? And what does Jesus say? You know, let me see the coin. Whose image is on the coin? It's Caesar's. Well, then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. The icon, the image, the stamp is there. Well, what image do you bear? What's the stamp on your life? Your stamp, you were made in the image and likeness of God. Jesus is the firstborn of a new creation. He'll tell us in Colossians, he's the Son of God. He's the one who shares here, he's saying, in the very nature of God. We're being brought in through baptism into Christ, a participation and a share in his life and in his glory. But Jesus has been with the Father from the beginning. He's eternally begotten of God, right? And he shares the stamp of his nature, and he upholds the universe by his word of power. Think about this. How powerful is Jesus? He holds up the universe by the word of his command. That's how powerful he is. Paul reminds us in Ephesians, and the catechism underlines it powerfully and says to us that Jesus possesses all power in heaven and on earth, and his power is far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion of any kind, of all the angels, the angels that are in his presence or the fallen angels or any power on earth. Jesus Christ has a superabundance of unlimited power, and there's no one who compares to him. So the defeat that he's won over the devil is permanent. It's going to happen. There's no chance Jesus is going to lose or his church is going to lose. We're going to suffer on this earth according to the mystery of God's plan and purpose. But the ultimate victory has been won, and the devil's not co-equal in strength with Jesus. He's a creature. Jesus is not a creature. Jesus is the God-man, and he has all power and authority. It's really important for us to be able to see the magnificence and the glory and splendor of Jesus. When he had made purification for sins, that is when he died on a cross and he became sin for us, as Paul said, and shed his blood so that blood could cleanse us, he became a sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. There's a lot in that one line. He sat down. Where did he sit? At the right hand of the Father. What does that mean? He's on the throne of the kingdom of God that rules everything. This is why the Father has given over everything to the Son. Again, all power and authority belongs to him. Majesty belongs to the Lord. The majesty on high. This is Jesus. The writer goes on and says, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs. He's superior to the greatest of the angels by far. Maybe there's a kind of infinity of difference. And the name which he obtained is the name of the unique Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. Now, yesterday morning, I was meditating on some paragraphs from the Catechism, and it turns out it parallels very clearly these simple verses, these profound verses at the beginning of this letter to Hebrews. And I just want to touch on some of those briefly in the last couple of minutes. So paragraph 668 in the Catechism, underlined, said, Christ is both Lord of the dead and of the living, and that at his ascension, when Jesus entered the Father's presence, the Catechism reminds us, this signifies Christ's participation in his humanity in God's power and authority. So when Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, right? He sat down as a human being. He's a God-man. In him is not only the second person of the Trinity, but the hypostatic union between heaven and earth, between God and human flesh. Jesus Christ is the one in human flesh that reigns at the right hand of God the Father, and all power and authority belongs to him. This has enormous implication for our lives. The one who possesses all power in heaven and on earth, whose power is far beyond all this seraphim and cherubim and thrones and dominions and authorities and powers and rulers and archangels and common angels and fallen angels and powerful human beings, he's so far above it all. He's the one who sits on the throne. He bears the flesh he received from Mary. He's lifted up human nature, which has fallen from glory, and he's brought it into the presence of God and brought it into the glory of God's house. And it's this Jesus, the Catechism tells us in paragraph 670, who dwells in his church in this final hour. And because of it, the church is endowed with real but imperfect holiness and sanctity. We're being empowered to become saints. Number two, the Catechism, the same paragraph said, and his presence is manifested through miraculous signs and wonders that come through the proclamation of the gospel. Friends, that's what you're going to hear this week as John Goff, our guest, shares some of this, but this is what we all inherit in Christ. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.